broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had to post this on X just about a minute or so ago. So for those of you who haven't seen the news, so, you know, the Montana Democrats elected new leadership over the weekend in Livingston, Montana. And their vice chair, well, first off, their chair of the Montana Democrat Party now is the same person that lost a statewide race, a statewide election just last year by 20 plus points. So if the Democrats are now trying to win elections, apparently they're trying to win elections by doubling down on the same radical left-wing agenda that has been costing them so many seats in the first place. And apparently they're now trying to win elections by having a chair that lost an election by 20 plus points last year in a statewide race. And I mentioned, earlier this week that conservative political strategist and campaign manager Jake Eaton, good friend of ours, he's been a guest host on the show before as well. He basically commented on X and said, "Thanks, Montana Democrats, for making my job easier." But the vice chair, I don't even really know this guy. I don't know if you guys know this guy. The newly elected vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party is a guy by the name of Max Edmund Johansson, apparently from Livingston, and he already got his fellow Montana Democrats mad at him because he was trash-talking flip-flop flat-top. He was trash-talking Liberal Senator John Tester, claiming that he didn't fight a hard enough race, that he didn't go liberal enough, even though he was very far left, of course. And so, but it is what he said about Marjorie Taylor Greene that really should be getting a lot of attention. Kyle Schmock said this on X yesterday. "The new vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party ponders, who am I to stop violence against my political opponents? After he suggested that somebody push Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene down several flights of stairs." Now, this was an older post from back in 2021, but again, imagine what would happen. What would be happening in the Montana media right now? I said this on X just about 6 minutes ago. So the new vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party talked about throwing the dumb B word, MTG, down several flights of stairs. Anyone in the Montana media reporting on this? Imagine if that was, if the GOP vice chair had said something like this. And then I joked, "By the way, I'm pretty sure if push came to shove and this woke liberal white dude tried to do something with Marjorie Taylor Greene, she would toss that liberal white dude down a flight of stairs if he tried something in a heartbeat." And by the way, the GOP's vice chair, the vice chair of the Montana GOP, Stacey Zinn, is one bad mama jamma. And she could easily take him, too. And we all know it if you've gotten a chance to meet Stacey Zinn before. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got some phone lines open for you. And then a couple of guests joining us later in the hour. 406-294-0970.
It's September 17th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Apple Dumpling Day. Is there another treat that best represents fall like the apple dumpling? The origins of the delicious pastry can be found in the northeastern part of the country, where it's a staple of Amish recipes. Peeled, cored, and sliced apples are combined with a bit of sugar and cinnamon, then placed in dough and baked till it's a golden brown. After that, feel free to eat it for breakfast or top it with ice cream for a decadent dessert. Also on this date, in 1787, the Constitution of the United States was signed by 39 of the 55 delegates at the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Those who did not sign the document objected that it did not contain a Bill of Rights. One delegate did not sign because it protected and codified slavery and the slave trade. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actress Anne Bancroft, born in 1931. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
A message from FireSafe Montana. A process called wildfire scoring may be used to determine the insurability of your property. Your home may be insurable today, but it might not be in the future. If building a new home, check with your insurance agent to determine if they will insure it, how that score was determined, and what the cost will be. And remember, wildfires can happen inside the city limits. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great job by Border Patrol once again here. Thanks to Fawn Mack on X for sharing this story with us. Caught my eye earlier this morning. You know, I mentioned Stacy Zinn. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA. She is the vice chair of the Montana Republican Party. Could you imagine if that soy boy from Livingston, who's the new chair of the new vice chair for the Democrats, could you imagine if he tried to throw her down a flight of stairs? He would have another thing coming for him, wouldn't he? She is a one bad mamma jamma. But I think coming up pretty soon, I'm trying to think, is that this week or is it later on? I gotta double check. I know that Stacy Zinn is going to be speaking at the Glacier Pachyderm Club in Kalispell, so I need to follow up with Stacy to see when that's going to be taking place. But yeah, I mentioned, a couple of weeks ago, I got to attend the Glacier Pachyderm Club in Kalispell when the Border Patrol agent in charge for the Whitefish Station was the guest speaker. Very insightful presentation that morning, but another great job by the Border Patrol in Whitefish, and yet here we go again, far left protesters showing up to protest the great men and women of the Border Patrol in Whitefish. This story is from kpax.com. Must have been a small crowd here. A crowd of protesters gathered outside the Border Patrol station in Whitefish late Sunday evening through Tuesday morning after five people were detained by Border Patrol officers in Evergreen. The Montana Highway Patrol told MTN News that Border Patrol was called to the scene of an accident off Highway 2 Sunday evening in Evergreen after the driver of a vehicle did not have a driver's license and needed help translating. The driver of the vehicle was detained and taken by Border Patrol agents. Apparently, there were folks from Honduras that were in the vehicle and that had been detained by the Border Patrol. And so anyway, in a statement to MTN News, U.S. Customs and Border Protection said, based on interviews and record checks, all five individuals apprehended were found to have no legal status in the United States. And so, of course, that's why they have been detained after being questioned and background checked there by the Border Patrol. And yet here you go, far left protesters once again showing up outside the Border Patrol in Whitefish, which is just another reminder. We have got, you know what would be great to do? Because we've got these incredible Turning Point USA chapters across Montana, both at UM and MSU. And we've got, you know, these great Americans for Prosperity folks, volunteers all across the state, and Pachyderm clubs and Republican women. What if everybody united and we got a rally in support of our great men and women of Border Patrol? And what if we did a big rally right out there in front of the Border Patrol station in Whitefish one of these days, just to show them where the people of Montana truly are at? and that we're not with these nut jobs that are trying to dox the agents, one of them trying to threaten the agents, and just these other folks that constantly stand up for these criminal illegal aliens who broke the law when they broke into this country. Into the phone lines we go. We've got Mark in the Paradise Valley. Mark, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a remark about our new Livingston Democrat. This is, to go back, this has gone on a long time. So Anita Dunn had made a remark that pretty much rose my eyebrow about her stating how she embraces the practices of Mao Zedong. So this is a party that is affiliated and appreciates or admires the tyrant Mao Zedong, Joseph Stalin, and Pol Pot. And we're surprised about them and promoting violence. Think about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for those who haven't heard the news, there is a Billings public school teacher that's now under investigation for, you know, allegedly celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Yeah, I was going to ask, it looks like Mark there already hung up, but I was going to ask him if he knew more about this this Livingston guy who was elected vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party. But yeah, no, the left has always embraced violence, the radical left. And if you look over world history, Jack Posobiec's book called Unhumans talks about, you know, the unhuman embrace of violence that has always been a part of these far left movements, especially since the cultural Marxist revolution in the 1960s here in America. We have seen this embrace of violence to advance their means. I mentioned now you've got the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party who is basically suggesting that somebody throw the dumb B word down a flight of stairs. And he was referring to Marjorie Taylor Greene. But then, yeah, you also heard me right. If you're hearing this news for the first time, a Billings public school teacher, one of our listeners, Kat in eastern Montana, got screenshots of what this guy allegedly said on Facebook, where he basically said, Charlie Kirk's death is literally chickens coming home to roost. Rouse me for something worth anyone's time. And this is a Skyview High School English teacher. I've confirmed this with a source close to the school district. So he is now under investigation and apparently has been sent home while this investigation is underway.
Fox Sports Update.
All right, a week and a half to play in the baseball regular season. What a ride out west in the American League. As of this moment, the Mariners lead the Astros by a half game. And a big reason why, the big dumper.
Blasted, center field, and oh, it disappears! He has homered on back-to-back pitches seen tonight. It may never stop the year of Cal.
All right, not one, but two homers for Cal Raleigh last night. Root Sports on the call, numbers 55 and 56. The first homer passed Mickey Mantle for most home runs by a switch hitter in a season. The second tied him with Ken Griffey Jr. for most homers in a season in Mariners history. And by the way, Seattle's won 10 straight. Meanwhile, Houston has a problem. Yordan Alvarez has a pretty significant left ankle sprain. He's out of the lineup indefinitely. Interesting times out west in the National League as well. Dodgers lead the Padres by two. Shohei last night, his 50th home run of the season, five hitless innings, and it comes in a loss. Phillies win 9-6. Padres lost to the Mets in New York 8-3. Thursday night football this week features the Dolphins and Bills from Buffalo. Josh Allen will wear a clear visor on his helmet to help protect his nose. Meanwhile, Vikings placed running back Aaron Jones on IR. He's got a bad hammy. And the Bengals have added not one, but two quarterbacks in the wake of Joe Burrow's turf toe injury. They signed both Sean Clifford and Mike White. WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces saw their 17-game winning streak end. The Seattle Storm got them 86-83. I'm Jay Burns.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
That's my husband.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we got a little bit of a frago for you here this morning. In a few minutes, we were going to have a guest join us from Capitol Hill. U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy was going to join us from Capitol Hill, but he just got pulled into a committee meeting. So we'll get that one going for you on another day. But that's actually okay because there are a lot of highlights from Capitol Hill yesterday. FBI Director Kash Patel testifying at a U.S. Senate hearing. And, man, he just absolutely tore into California Senator Adam Schiff. And had some, you know, spot on comments for Adam Schiff, the guy who was behind the Russia hoax, the guy who has lied to this country so many times. You need more fingers than John Tester to be able to count the number of times that Adam Schiff has lied to this country. He also tore into Spartacus Cory Booker out of New Jersey. I thought Cory Booker was going to start crying after that back and forth. I'm not afraid of you. But anyway, we'll get to some of those highlights here in a few minutes. But first, you know, even though this is an off-year election when it comes to congressional elections, presidential elections, etc., that's when they really try to sneak some things under the radar. You know, you still have school elections. You still have city council elections. And then because there's those municipal elections, what else are they going to try to sneak in under the radar? Hey, this is something that caught my eye. Basically, when it comes to preventing the ability to get new housing online in Bozeman, Montana, and in Gallatin County, apparently there is an initiative that's in the works for the November ballot that could make it really hard to get some new affordable housing online and really hinder the economy in Gallatin County. Anyway, we've got Riley Rivers with us now here on the show. Riley, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell us about the Affordable Bozeman Coalition and also about this initiative that apparently is going to be on the November ballot.
Yeah, certainly. So the Affordable Bozeman Coalition, it was put together by SWMBA, the Southwest Montana Building Industry Association. I'm a representative of that. And we're not just SWMBA. We've got like-minded trade people. We've got people in finance. We have other people who are really aren't even in the building industry who are very, very concerned about this. So we formed the Affordable Bozeman Coalition. We're a registered ballot committee to oppose this ward initiative. But yeah, essentially what the ward, they call themselves the Ward Water Adequacy for Residential Development. Essentially what they're seeking to do is link affordable housing to water aid. And that sounds really good, right? But it's wrong. It's going to be so detrimental if it's passed to any semblance of affordable housing, any semblance of housing in Bozeman. And it's a really hot topic right now in town. They could be, we just went through an election I think everybody was tired of. And now here we have something that's really dangerous for Bozeman that they might be trying to sneak in there. They actually could have put it on the ballot last year. They had their signatures and they chose not. So I think for whatever reason, that might be, I can only speculate, but it's pretty dangerous. What this initiative is trying to do though is the city of Bozeman since 1984 has used the cash in lieu of water rights program to allow projects to move forward. As we all know, water rights are extremely contentious in Montana and difficult to come by. And so essentially, if you want to build a subdivision, you want to build an apartment complex, you want to build your house in Bozeman, you need to give the city a water right in order to hook up to the municipal system. The city recognized the way back in the 80s. That's really difficult to do. It takes up to 8 years to convert an agricultural water right into a residential water right. The city, recognizing that's an issue, said, hey, we're going to do a water calculation. You can pay us for a water right. $6,000 is generally per acre foot that you need to pay. You can pay that, and then we're going to put that into a pot, and then we'll go and collectively bargain for to increase City of Bozeman's water capacity with larger amounts of water rights. But this allows building to keep going. It's been used on 99% of projects since 1984, and it's really what has made building possible in Bozeman and closed basin. So what this group is seeking to do is say that you cannot use cash in lieu of water rights unless you set aside 33%, a third of your project, for affordable housing at 120% of AMI or 60% AMI for rent, 120% for sale, meaning that you need to build the cost, build the unit. You have to sell the units far, far below the cost. I mean, hundreds of thousand dollars below the cost that it would take to produce an affordable housing unit. And that would apply to the entire project. So we're looking at it as like if building was even able to pencil out during this, what's going to happen is that those costs are going to get shifted to the other two-thirds, the 67% of that project. And if you wanted to buy a house in Bozeman, you're looking at, you know, a $400,000 condo or something like that. Under this, it's going to skyrocket to, you know, $600,000 or $800,000 condo simply because they have to pay for the affordable units in that project. And so it's really bad.
Yeah, you know, I remember this was probably a couple summers ago now, and my friend David Noble, who grew up in Manhattan, was filling in for me on the show one morning, and I was listening in from my camper while I was, you know, enjoying a cup of coffee, and he was talking about how there was a far-left guy, activist, I think he ran for mayor, who was basically trying to do this very thing, which is cut off the access to water for people that are trying to build new housing and things like that. And he talked about how absurd it was. And it looks like this is a continuation of that effort. And my point after hearing what David had to say was like, we don't have a water shortage in Montana. We have a water storage problem in Montana. And especially that summer, I remember the grass was as tall as my pickup window driving out in Gallatin County because we had so much water earlier in the year. And so we need to we get enough water, we just ship it downstream every single spring and every single year. And so what Gallatin County, what Bozeman needs to do is figure out better ways to store some of that water. But instead, what they're trying to do here is basically, hearing it from your perspective, is impose price controls, make housing more expensive, and then just drive this development further out into the farmland, further out into the wildlife habitat areas, and develop more outside the city instead.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we think would happen, because no one's going to be able to afford to build in Bozeman. People who wanted to build affordable housing in Bozeman, your average, you know, single-family home, those are no longer going to be able to exist under this because they are not going to be able to get done. And so Bozeman doesn't actually have a water problem. Both the city of Bozeman ran a huge campaign about how much we need to conserve water, and they made a lot of progress. But because of the work that the conservation department has done in Bozeman, Bozeman's managed their water system very well, and they have some extremely bright people working there in the water conservation department. As a result, Bozeman only uses 42% of its currently available water supply. And we were able to take on 14,000 new residents recently over the last several years without expanding that water supply. In a drought year, in a 50-year drought year, we only use 60% of our water supply.
Interesting.
This group is trying to create
it. Yet there's this big fear campaign that Bozeman doesn't have enough water. Bozeman doesn't have enough water, and that's why they're going to make it harder for people to build unless you cave to their socialistic demands. And yet, yeah, they're only using 40% of the water, you know, some years, and then in the worst, 60%. Very interesting. I understand you've got a website here, the Affordable Bozeman Coalition. Folks can go to affordablebozeman.com is the website. What kind of help do you need, and how can folks team up with you?
Yeah, there's definitely, we just need people to get the word out. Ironically enough, the only people in town that are for this is this grassroots group that put this program together. The city of Bozeman, the government, which we normally do not agree with at Swimbia, they are vehemently against this. Other groups like Bozeman Tenants United, other, you know, more left groups are also very against this. So it's a very small group that their messaging is easy enough to trick someone because it sounds good. So what we're going to need is we just need to get the word out that, hey, this is going to be bad for any kind of housing. This is going to be the worst for affordable housing because it will not be able to be built under this. And, yeah, we just need to get the word out. Take a look at our website. If you're in Gallatin County, this is only for City of Bozeman registered voters. But this group definitely has expressed interest in wanting to expand this in some way into Gallatin County. And I'd say, you know, they were successful in that. They would like to expand it across Montana. They want to see housing stop.
And look at some of these, look at some of these just absurd initiatives that I think there's some of these groups out there. They just simply make money pushing this stuff too. And so they come up with, oh, we've got an initiative idea. And then they get, you know, some gullible people or some mischievous people to back it. And then they make a bunch of money pushing their initiative, kind of like the plastic ban that they pushed a while back, which got overturned even by the Montana Supreme Court back in December. And so here they go again. They're figuring out a way to cash in with another fear campaign all over again. Well, Riley, great to have you on the show. Thanks for taking some time with us here this morning. We got about 30 seconds before the break. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana?
Yeah, I'd say just keep an eye out for initiatives like this. This group would like to expand it across the state. So we need your support. If we can get it, we can get it defeated in Bozeman soundly. You know, they're not going to try this again. They're not going to try it elsewhere.
All right. Riley Rivers with the Affordable Bozeman Coalition. Go to affordablebozeman.com. Appreciate your time. Thanks so much for being with us here on Montana Talks. Yeah, of course, this is the show where you get to talk. We've got phone lines open for you right now. I've got a busy 9 o'clock hour. We've got the young man now leading the Turning Point USA chapter in Missoula, kicking off the 9 o'clock hour, plus our USS Montana interviews from game day over the weekend as well. I'm sneaking those in the 9 o'clock hour, so it's going to get a little busy. So if you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the news of the day, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, back after this. I saw we just got a message on the app from Tim in Savage. Oh, they're protesting the Border Patrol for doing their job.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, this is great. Hey, I mentioned we were going to have Senator Tim Sheehy with us on the show, but then he got pulled into some committee meeting or floor action in the U.S. Senate or what have you. Well, then surprise, boom, he got a few minutes freed up. He's now with us on the phone lines right now. Navy SEAL veteran, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Senator, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for freeing up some time for us.
Yeah, what's missing, Aaron? Thanks for the invite. Always great to be here.
Well, this is my first time catching up with you after this tragic news of the loss of this great American patriot, Charlie Kirk. That happened on September 10th. And then on September 11th, we remembered the fallen on September 11th. And then I was with some Gold Star family members over the weekend as well. You had a guest opinion column in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle, not only looking back on these terrorist attacks against America, but also honing in on this terrorist assassination against Charlie Kirk. Just what's your thoughts? What have you been processing over the past few days?
Well, as you know, as a combat veteran, you know, we both are, it's really hard to see somebody you've known personally, you know, get pulled, you know, right in front of you. And obviously I wasn't there with Charlie, but we all saw the videos. This is probably the most televised killing of anybody we've ever seen in history. I think it's a watershed moment where it's really hard to see somebody you've known personally, you've broke bread with and been in a personal relationship with get killed. And we've seen it on the battlefield, but it's different when it's right here at home. And what I wrote about was, you know, every year for the last 24 years, we've had, you know, 9/11 is a day where normally the country sets aside its partisanship for a bit. And we recognize that we as Americans were attacked. We weren't attacked as Democrats or Republicans, liberals, conservatives, socialists. whatever, white, black, Asian. We were attacked as Americans, and those planes and those towers coming down didn't care who was in there. They were attacking our nation, and I think every year we kind of remember that for a day. And this year it definitely hit differently because we were reminded that, you know, in place of unity was a terrible, terrible divisive act that, as we know, was unfortunately echoed with so much Republican rhetoric afterwards that it was really sad to see. But I also think that this might be a watershed moment. It might be, you know, like RFK when he was assassinated, like MLK, like JFK in the 60s, that people are realizing we can't continue down this path. That violence isn't the answer, no matter what your issue is. The American Republic was built to solve our problems without resorting to violence. And I'm hoping that as we push through the pain of this experience, we'd come out the other side and recognize that we can disagree on a lot, but I do think we agree on much more. And it's about time we start to figure out how to disagree better.
Yeah, I mean, you just had Charlie Kirk with you on the University of Montana campus about 1 year ago. He was there doing events with you. I got a great message from Pat in Big Timber last night or earlier this morning, and he basically talked about how, you know, there's Bible verses and Bible stories about this as well, about how sometimes you can be more powerful in death than even in life. And it certainly seems, I think you're right that our country is at a turning point, and very clearly, you know, our 250th birthday is next year, and I just hope that people don't silence themselves. They stand up, and you know, when we talked about 9/11, it always seemed like the best of us were always the ones that fell, and then the rest of us need to stand up, and that's what we've got to do to make sure this country remains a free republic for another 250 years.
You're absolutely right, and it's time to heal. It's a perfect time to start right now.
Talk about some of the – well, before we get into, you know, some of the news back on Capitol Hill, I want to get your take on some of the new developments here in Montana. Pretty interesting. The Montana Democrats have selected new leadership, and apparently they did not get the message last November. They already had far-left candidates on the ballot last November, and they got spanked 20-plus points in a lot of the statewide elections. And yet now they're doubling down. They're going further to the left. They've got a party chair that lost her statewide race by 20 points. And then their vice chair, this guy was talking about throwing Marjorie Taylor Greene down a flight of stairs. My goodness, what's your reaction to what's going on in the Montana Democrat Party right now?
Well, it's pretty sad, to be honest with you. I mean, our republic, as you said, you know, it was built on the concept of disagreement. And we need two healthy parties having a healthy exchange to create the best outcomes for Americans. And you know, obviously, I'm a Republican. I want our party to be victorious. But at the same time, you know, we do need two healthy parties representing both sides of the aisle in America. And unfortunately, the Democrat Party right now is the party of criminals. It's the party of they're more worried about Venezuelan drug dealers being killed by this administration than they are about crime in our streets when American citizens are being murdered. They literally take the side of drug dealers over our own citizens. You know, they take the side of criminals in the street over our policemen who are trying to make our streets safe for our families. So their party truly has lost its way. And I think what we heard in Livingston from them was pretty remarkable in that they've said, we can't shy away from socialism. We need to let it in. And even John Tester, my opponent, dialed in and said, hey, guys, this election was a lesson for us. We need to return to kitchen table issues. We need to focus on costs. We need to focus on housing and common sense issues. Of course, they said, you know, no, John, you're wrong. We need to go further left. We need to embrace direct handouts. We need to embrace socialism, because what was really going to win elections in Montana is if we go further to the left. And, you know, listen, if that's their plan, then, you know, more power to them, because we're just going to keep winning by bigger and bigger margins, because they've gotten a drubbing the last 10 years across the state. We've won everything. We've swept them from every seat in the state. And now they think their answer is to go further left. So I think they're in for another few years of big losses here if they don't finally reorient themselves to reality.
Well, I'll tell you what, if this woke white liberal guy from Livingston, who's the vice chair of the Dems, tried to throw Stacey Zinn, the vice chair of the Montana GOP, down a flight of stairs, he'd have another thing coming. She's quite the bad mamma jamma.
Yeah, I think I know, he better put his jockstrap on before he does that. She's going to kick his ass.
Talk about what's going on Capitol Hill. I see you're taking up the fight on behalf of our great miners back here in Montana with the Stillwater mine. And you know, it's just crazy the way the Biden regime allowed Russia to continue to have access to our markets here when they launched the war in Ukraine. But I know you've been, you know, and of course, President Trump's trying to get this whole war in Ukraine over with altogether. But talk about what you're trying to do to keep this Russian palladium from being dumped into America.
Well, this is about a number of issues, and this is about our resource economy, Aaron. And for about the last 35 years, we've seen an abject assault on the resource economy in America, from our timber mills to our timber industry to oil and gas to mining of all kinds, whether it's lithium, whether it's palladium, whether it's coal. We have seen an outright assault on the resource economy in America. And the resource economy is one of the reasons we are a superpower. And in the 21st century, we're going to see massive competition for every single critical element, from rare earths to our guidance systems, to coal to power our power plants, to just general baseload power that comes from natural gas, to things like palladium, which are obviously the core component for catalytic converters. So we have to bring back common sense to our resource economy, and this is exactly what we're doing with our Sibanye Stillwater Mines support, by ensuring that we are supporting the American resource industry, because we shouldn't be depending on China and South America and Africa and other foreign countries to give us the critical resources that we need to build our military and run our economy. And if we can get those resources in America, we should. And if we get them in Montana with Montana jobs, even better. So I am a completely unabashed fighter for all resource issues in Montana. We don't want to be clear-cutting our forests. We don't want to be dumping cyanide in our rivers. We don't want to be blowing the tops off mountains. But we can find that equilibrium between caring for our environment, but also making sure we are extracting resources from Montana with Montana jobs that power the American economy. That means more timber. That means our coal mines should be running. That means copper mines. And, of course, that means our palladium processing plant down in Stillwater. That's what we're fighting for.
Senator Tim Sheehy, I know you got to run back to the floor of the Senate here for votes, et cetera, here in a couple of minutes. We've got about a minute to go here. Chuck Schumer is making it clear that he is ready and willing to shut down the government, getting President Trump's nominees across the finish line, and reining in this government spending. Got to be the two priorities, right, in the months ahead.
Well, kind of like the Montana Democrat Party, I think, you know, the Schumer shutdown and Chuck Schumer himself have, I think, a 7% approval rating I saw. So, you know, he's sinking deeper and deeper and watching his political career disappear in front of his face. So he's at this point flailing for anything that can show he's resisting the Trump administration. That includes shutting the government down and harming our national security and our economy. That includes stonewalling common sense bipartisan legislation. That includes stonewalling bipartisan nominees who've been voted out of committee on a bipartisan basis. He's like a petulant two-year-old in the corner, just like slamming his fist and crying like a baby. And so he's going to shut the place down if he has his way. And the American people will know it's a Schumer shutdown. And this is Democrat policies at their best right now.
All right, Senator Sheehy, appreciate your time. But real quick, what vote are you headed to? What's going on the floor?
I have to preside, which is a wonderful thing for us new senators. I have to sit in the throne there on the Senate floor and handle the floor business for the day.
Honor
to do it.
C-SPAN nerds will geek out on it. It'll be great. All right, appreciate your time. Thank you, man.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We have dozens and dozens of people now being fired from their jobs for celebrating Charlie's assassination. And people are saying, well, why should they get fired? They're expressing their freedom of speech. What company in their right mind would ever want an employee that cheers the political assassination of a 31-year-old husband and father of two little kids? By the way, we went through some of this yesterday. Doctors and nurses and college professors, airline pilots, teachers. Are these not people that are supposed to be responsible for health and safety of other people cheering the public assassination of somebody that just wanted to have a discussion with young college students?
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, having a safety plan is essential. God forbid someone breaks into your home, or if you find yourself in a confrontation, don't start with a lethal firearm. No. Start less lethal. Start with Byrna, BYRNA.com. This less lethal launcher is the most effective self-defense tool available today without legal, financial,
or emotional consequences that may come with using a gun. I carry one. It's part of my personal safety and security plan every day. I recommend all of you, if you're concerned about safety, you should be, have one as well. They have the new compact launcher, the CL. It is the world's smallest, less lethal pistol concealed anywhere. It fires powerful kinetic and tear gas rounds that can stop any perpetrator for up to 40 minutes. And Burner has protection for every member of the family, from safety alarms to personal defense sprays as well. Check out Burner, BYRNA.com today, and find the right launcher for your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Rapper Cardi B reveals who else we'll hear on her upcoming album out this Friday.
He's so awesome. What's his name?
Summer Walker, Selena Gomez, Kalani, Lizzo, Tyla, Janet Jackson, Megan Thee Stallion, and others will be featured on songs on Cardi B's second album titled Am I the Drama? Demi Lovato announces her ninth album called It's Not That Deep. The singer has already been teasing her next dance pop era with the release of singles Fast and Here All Night. It will be expected out October 24th. Bad Bunny is teaming up with Amazon Music for a live stream of his surprise final show at his Puerto Rico residency. This Saturday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, fans can watch the Grammy winner for free on the Amazon Music app, the Amazon Music channel on Twitch, and Prime Video. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show. Let's see here. Got to get to these highlights. FBI Director Kash Patel in the U.S. Senate yesterday. In fact, John Jackson, the Joker from X, during the show yesterday, he was kind of reporting for us in real time as he was monitoring Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, he was telling us how yesterday the big thing that came out of these Senate hearings was Chuck Grassley, the Iowa senator, talking about how the FBI under Joe Biden had been going after Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. Apparently it was a part of the broader operation where they were going after President Trump. And so it just shows the extent of the weaponization of the FBI that had occurred under the Biden regime. And, of course, who was their point man? What do they call him, pencil neck? Who was the point man on Capitol Hill for the Russia hoax and for this effort to undermine the president of the United States and to weaponize the entirety of the federal government against not just Donald J. Trump, but against Turning Point USA, against peaceful pro-life protesters, against Catholic churchgoers? Adam Schiff. That was one of the more explosive back and forths yesterday, as FBI Director Kash Patel appeared before the Senate hearing. Rapid Response 47 says shared this, calling it must watch, as FBI Director Kash Patel bodies Adam Schiff. Here you go. Here's the audio.
No, I think the American people believe the truth, that I'm not in the weeds on the everyday movements of
you're
inmates.
Not in the weeds.
What I am doing is protecting this country, providing historic reforms, and combating the weaponization of intelligence by the likes of you. And we have countlessly proven you to be a liar in Russiagate, in January 6th. You are the biggest fraud to ever sit in the United States Senate. You are a disgrace to this institution and an utter coward.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised that you continue to lie from your perch and put on a show so you can go raise money for your charade. You are a political buffoon at best.
Well, you can take an internet troll.
Take it to the bank that the FBI is protecting this country and the state and citizens of California. We are
doing
historic reform.
Point of order.
But all you care about is a child sex predator that was prosecuted by a prior administration, and the Obama Justice Department and the Biden Justice Department did squat. And what did President Trump do? Bring new charges courageously. And what have we done?
Chairman,
you said I'm the most transparent FBI director in history. 33,000 pages of of information to you. I challenge you to say anything credibly to the truth.
Anyway, great job calling out Adam Schiff and not taking one piece of Schiff from that guy. What about Cory Booker? All right, I think this one's a little bit shorter, but Cory Booker, he was about to cry by the end of this one.
That rant of false information does not bring this country together. If you want to work on bringing this country, it's my time, not yours.
My God.
If you want to talk about
dividing this country,
it is
my
time.
I follow you on your social media posts that tear this country apart.
To address your falsehoods.
Oh, you can try all you want to not take responsibility for what you have said. Sir, you're making a mockery of this committee. Sir, you don't tell me my time is over. The people in New Jersey tell me what my time is. You can't lecture me.
You can tell me my time's over.
You make me charge me. I am not afraid of you,
Mr. Chairman.
Not afraid of you.
Oh, man, Cory Booker, Spartacus. Yeah, it sounded like he was going to cry there, especially if you see the video. Good job by Kash Patel putting up with these guys, calling them out for every single one of their lies and everything they did to undermine the United States of America. I wish Cory Booker and Adam Schiff would get a little more mad about the hundreds of thousands of children that went missing under the Biden administration. There's a whole bunch of things they could get mad about. Anyway, what a bunch of prima donnas up there. All right, we got the Turning Point USA chapter lead from the University of Montana kicking off the next hour. Stand by.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals help fuel my love for acting. When people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at FeedingAmerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
KBUS.